Now, that line, this area, where do you, as I was told you before, you can actually have no problem in your, you're a sailor, you can, you and sailors should hit it off extremely well. It's very important that you take the initiative to sit down and talk with Ron about all the problems and so forth, if there's any questions. You know Coulson well, he naturally is in charge of another, he's not a press man, but he does do a lot of work on following up. Number of things you're doing in the press, so you should feel free to talk to him quite bluntly about various things. Klein, same, you know, just chat. You have feelings that some of maybe, missing opportunities, that they may be overstepping, understepping, or not stepping at all, and they should be. Then you just, you know, step in, talk to them. What's that mean for you, and have him sit in? Don't waste your time on meetings if you can avoid it, but which ones are worth it now?
The ones where they're working on,
yeah,
things that relate to what goes out as contrasted to the, running with the machinery and government.
Sure.
And on the, when we get into decision-making things, I think John's gotta be in on.
That's right.
Well, so it's
before a case, before.
So we make propaganda.
Who's on the line?
Propaganda. Now, your primary assignment is, of course, in the foreign policy area. And in that area, you have to be very close to Henry. And also Henry, he's gotta be close to Peterson. Now, it's very important that Peterson, because that's an economic, international economic policy, and that's a fascinating area. Which isn't going to be, doesn't appear to be Saddam newsworthy at the moment, but will become so as time goes on. I think you could be very hopeful to sit down and talk with Peterson. Peterson's got some ideas about, speeches and things of that sort that he thinks we should make in this field. And you, of course, know about that, so get acquainted with him. It's the most important relationship that you have, and the reason I asked Henry to get you to come in now, is the relation with Henry. And it's going to be difficult, I mean, for both of you, because, Henry's got his job and so forth, but on the other hand, there's nobody more interested than Henry in trying to get this, get our programs not only right, he has the responsibility for program and pursuing it. The main thing that I want you to have in mind with regard to Henry is this. He's our biggest gun. He's our biggest gun in terms of not public statements, but in terms of background, and he has believability, credibility, et cetera, respect among, the people you come from. Now, we can't waste that gun. I don't mean the time that I'm in there are people who just see this for their old time's sake or this or that or anything. But the other hand, the main thing is to be sure that gun is used with great effect wherever you count. For example, Henry did a very good job last week. He spent a lot of time with television companies. He met Chancellor and a lot of others. And it pays off that it's really, these people that, my whole emphasis is spend more time on. In the order of priority, they're these. They're the networks. And next time, it's the wire services. And when I include the networks, I throw in a radio, perhaps, do wire services. And then in a much lower form of life, the colonists, virtually hardly show. And in about that same low form of life, we mean as many things in terms of influence. The networks, desires, just enormously important. You mentioned, for example, Stuart Hensley.
Right.
Now, Hensley is a fellow that we should know better. He's a hell of a good writer. I know something in the news summary today that he does. He's a writer in depth. And I'd like, for example, you to put Hensley with Henderson. You know Hensley?
I've met him once, but I wouldn't recognize him if I saw him.
According to John, he's the best by far foreign policy writer, right?
Yes. The most experienced, most reliable.
And objective.
And objective.
He's not out to cut us up.
Right.
He's out to just give us what ours are due or hit us in the ass sometimes. And that's all we ask.
Right. He's a close personal friend and he can be reasoned with if you have a case.
Right. And Stuart Hensley has enormous influence with his colleagues. So this is one. There are many others. In other words, I'd like for you to sit down and analyze the whole television business. I don't mean by that a person can't is completely out unless typically use those bullets against those vulnerable targets, right? And that's where Henry's concerned, where, of course, Klein and the other people in their various respective fields where they can use that something else again. One area that is particularly, will be particularly important is, well, I noticed, I mean, I was hearing your comment on the China thing, and Henry, that it's important that you have a talk with Sean about how all this began.
We're going to get together.
How all this began. There's much more than meets the eye here. For example, you probably were under the impression that much of the press corps is that the China initiative came from state. It may surprise you to know that the China initiative I undertook, started 20 months ago, the first announcement was made 13 months ago, was utterly opposed by the Foreign Service. You know why? Well, they're not there for it now. You know why? The criminologist. Chip Bowden wrote in the memo.
Tommy Thompson.
Tommy Thompson did. The State Department Foreign Service people, not Bill, I'm referring to Bill. Bill Rogers plays the game the way that he's supposed to, and everybody said it. But they opposed it because they said they're going to make the Russians mad. Sure, make the Russians mad. We didn't do it for that purpose. Although it may be a dividend, who knows? It depends. If it makes them mad, it helps us. But the point is, the state from the beginning opposed that they only came around on it in the past perhaps 2 or 3 months. Now, the reason being that is that they had the idea that we needed a count of the Russians. We must deny the territories to Russians. Every time Kosiga came to see anybody in the state or anybody in the White House, he raised all the hell about what we were doing with China. And he scared them all. But not me. I do the China things for long range reasons. Very, very important. Now, that brings us to the present thing. It's very important now. We're going to have another announcement tomorrow, which you should go to John Hill. It's very important now that we want to get every dividend we can out of this, that we not appear to exploit it. The reason is that much as we want the publicity, we're playing for much higher stakes. We're fighting for much higher stakes with the Russians. And this thing is sending them right up the wall, big pong game. And we also are fighting for high stakes with the Chinese. It makes good, it's very good copy here for us to appear to be the people that are opening up the Chinese thing and so forth and so on. But our major goal is to open it up. And whenever a propaganda initiative will have the effect of hurting that goal, now, there are reasons why, at this point, that we think we can get, this is where subtlety is involved, where we can get maximum benefit. When this announcement is made tomorrow, everybody's going to read into it a hell of a lot more. And so this announcement is going to be made tomorrow, it's going to be planning for months. It just happens to fall right into the big bomb team. See, we didn't know the big bomb team was going to happen tomorrow. Just like that.
We had some feeling that something was going to happen.
Oh, yeah, because they had been dropping little hints around the world in the various embassies. For months, we had been expecting some thaw. We didn't but I suppose we were looking more to the fact that the thaw might come in Warsaw. But the Chinese, with their usual subtlety, had the thaw, call it thaw for the lack of something else, press the wall right that way. It comes in another area, right?
That's right.
You never can predict how the Chinese work. They're much less predictable than Russians. Russians are very predictable. Chinese are not predictable.
But they're subtly.
Because they are Chinese, not because they're communists.
Well, if the Freeland were here, he'd be over here already.
So, but my point is, and this is the thing where John can probably get the word. We don't want to start a fight with the state about this. There's a nice city with the career guy. We're not trying to, even though they've got something, they may try to cut us up. But the White House, and we don't want to embarrass. We don't want to particularly have anything with regard to Rogers. You see, because that's very important to maintain. On the other hand, we cannot allow the myth
this whole operation will stop again. We've had it started once and it stopped.
Stop.
We shouldn't grow too early.
We don't want to grow. We want to grow. We simply want to say we're watching with interest and all that sort of thing. The point is that I think that it's important, Henry, for John to know what the game is.
I'll get him.
John, the main thing that you have to know is that everybody around here and everybody in the government, the NSC, has not told everything. They are not. But I've told Henry that I want you to know anything that in these critical areas. But you must remember that when we are telling you these things, as I'm sure you know, that usually there's an awful good reason not to tell others. And so you know what I mean. And that's the reason on the I use the China thing as an example, I don't know the better one. It's a very delicate situation. Maybe in 3 weeks we'll want to tell them more of the story. Maybe not this week. Maybe a little of it comes out this week, as I suggest this morning.
We can get a little of it.
I want to be in a position of knowing so that I can recommend to you, perhaps win.
That's right. That's sure. The judge should always be in a position of knowing, not just to win.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, when I made that recommendation to you, you welcomed the ping pong team, and I didn't know any part about this background.
Yeah.
But I saw it as an opportunity to project it even further as a man who at the time was a demonstrator of raising Cain about Vietnam. We were already thinking far ahead of that.
That's right. And that's what we must do.
And I thought, if you combine this with that other suggestion that I had made, namely the visit to San Diego, you'd have a really great combination. Yes. And,
yeah, we're looking into that to see whether we can.
I think that's a good idea, that Camp Pendleton, I think, is a good idea.
We can do it logistically.
There's something to be said for doing it the week after.
Rather than,
and you see, that doesn't look.
I can't do it basically on the 17th, because that's the date we spend.
Not the 23rd, 24th.
Well, we can do it, but I can do it the 29th, the 30th, which is just. About right, it may be just as well. But I can see the demonstrations are going on for the whole week.
They have another one anyway, planned for May 5th.
Extremely good briefings, very good. But you know, it's good for him to sit
that first impression may be the wrong one. And you'll probably find that for a couple of weeks, well, now, this is the way it works. It'll work this way. If there's a door that is closed, then it should be open, let me know. Or if there's one that is open, you think ought to be closed, which might be the case, let me know. In the meantime, however, our purpose here, as you know, is not to have you as a briefer. We're not to have you as a leader. Your ears and so on. Maybe at times when the issue is enormously important, when you will have to be used as a big gun. You understand? You may have to make some, but you will have to determine whether that's right. You'll know. We don't want you to get in the position of the White House press man, and so forth. We have others who do that. On the other hand, not being in that position, I think you can be even much more effective when you do have something. See? Now, you'll have to play that role. For example, I have in mind, John, not now, but after a month or so, it may be that we want him to make a speech. Maybe he makes a talk. He can make a talk. It'd be an excellent to do that. He can go on television. He can do the things. He can do all these things, provided you recognize that you have one very serious problem. It's the same problem Henry's got. That is the relationship with the state. You understand that relationship because you've been over there. And we are not about to try to exacerbate it. I think it's very important that you keep your contacts around the state and that's so. And then we don't get the impression that our relations are Ziegler calls Heineken and McCloskey every day before we so. Very closely coordinated, but you can see some of these things rising on the horizon, and when you do, say maybe this ought to be knocked down, maybe it ought to be built right.
When I talked with Mr. Holman, and he asked me what I proposed to do, I said I proposed to do virtually nothing except study what was going on for the first 3 weeks.
But we think it the same way.
And it's going to be very difficult for me because by nature you're right.
You're a guy.
I am an activist, and I want to get things done. I want to get them done immediately. I want to get them done well.
That's right. That's right. Thank God. We want.
And I have the ideas I think I can contribute.
That's right. Well, let me say that even in the first 3 weeks when you're around, what I mean, don't be under any pressure to get anything done. Because I think you'll be more valuable being your own self. If you get the feel that you sort of. But at the same time, don't hesitate. Why, even 1 hour from now, you've got an idea, put it out, send it in. Don't worry. It's looking for ideas. I think it's important, too, that you get to know very well people like Ray Price, Sapphire, research, Rag, Deans, as I said, Klein.
Dick Moore,
he's here now. But he'll be here next week. And Dick Moore, that's about it, I guess, on that side.
Ziegler,
of course. I think you should stick, though, at the top. There's Ziegler, Colson, Moore, Price, Sapphire, and so forth. But the most important relationship you have is with Henry.
I understand.
And Henry, you'll have no problem working with Henry. Frustrating, particularly when ideas that you have are not immediately known. for the shootings, I'm not sure that we could. But I think the China story is the most fascinating story, and when it comes out, as it will, it'll be something for the history books.
And I think it's completely opposite from what the press thinks. I think you should get the credit for it, and I think it could help you in the Vietnam picture, Mr. President.
I agree.
If it's handled correctly.
Right. So, well, it gets people's mind off of Vietnam and onto something else. Well, as a matter of fact, we are very anxious. There are several things that can move in that direction. The more that Vietnam, the left, can be out of the news now, the more that other foreign policy issues can be in, the better. The China thing is part.
That could just be the tip of the iceberg, and that's what we want to maintain.
We just want to maintain it for a little while, and there will be a few little things develop. All right, President, take your place. Where do you put your office where you
come in?
You
may be.
That's the best place.
Yeah.
That's where I am.
The old DOD. I'll take this with me tonight.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
All right. John, good to have you here tonight. Boy, I have one thing on Lodge. I want to cover it.
Goldwater was really right about the Eastern establishment, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah.
He was stupid.
Yeah.
But he was right.
Oh, yes.
Huh?
He was absolutely right. And the Boston one is particularly weak. Presently, we get a Chinese relaxation going and a Soviet relaxation going. I think we have an almost 50-50 chance to settle with Hanoi. Hanoi will not be able then to stand alone.
What do you think about his thought? I agree. I think the entire
actually refute Schultz. There's only one man in the cabinet I refute.
Richardson.
Richardson. I have other plans for him. Now, Richardson, I just bought them all off. And then Richardson, I would, we might have to put him in state. I don't know anybody else at the moment. But the problem about Henry with Rockefeller is that I don't think he's trustworthy enough to be in state.
The fellow would clean it up, but he'd be tough. I mean, he'd be
tough with us.
With us.
No, no, and he might get under their spell, too. You gotta remember, he sits around with people, and he can be, and he's erratic as hell. But Richardson will clean it out if we tell him to. Or do you agree? If he won't, the hell, we can. Richardson is a man of great honor.
I think if we tell him to, he'll do it. One should have, but he would be a good secretary.
I would start. Here's what I would do.
Richardson would have great value.
I would start. I would just start with that. I'd say, now, this is the top. This is the top of the pool for you. I said, I want you to know it's on these conditions. I am naming everybody, every undersecretary of state and every assistant secretary. Now I'm going to clean house once and for all. And the same we do in the Defense Department. I clean every bastard out of there. As a matter of fact, Packard would be perfectly adequate.
Packard would be adequate.
The secretary at this stage. He's an honest and decent man.
From Packard.
He deserves it. But that's the way I feel about it.
Because
I think you've got to think about these things. You know, but I made up my mind. A whole bunch of those. Clean them all up.
I think in your second term, Mr. President, you can make a revolution in this country. In your first term, you'll have saved the country. But in your second term, one thing Mankiewicz said this morning to me that I thought was fascinating. He said, if you become Freeburg president or any Democrat other than Robert Kennedy, he had to say that, were president, there would be more troops in Vietnam today than there are. The war would be more active. If any Democrat had tried to do what you did, there would have been a revolution in the country. That goes very far.
If he knew somebody from the right, he had to do it.
That's right.
Is that true?
That's right.
You know something, Henry? Your call fascinates me from George Bundy.
Well,
you're not overstating it now.
Oh, no. I sent you, I transcribed it, but...
tell me again, nobody said. Well, why did he call you to call him?
No, he had called me in the morning about this conversation with the Soviets, and he wanted to know what he should say to them.
Yeah.
And he was ready to battle on about other things too. So I called him in the evening to reply to what he should say. But I didn't raise Vietnam with him at all. He raised it with me. He said he thought you had done it again. He said there was there's only one issue. And I frankly thought deadline. And I said deadline. He said, no, that's nonsense. Deadline is nonsense.
Did you say that was nonsense? Yeah. Any honest man calls the deadline.
And he said there's only one issue, that's the moral issue of killing
civilians. You know what deadline is? It's really only raised by those who question what person wants to lose, but who's first, who questions my honesty.
That's right.
That's right.
Has no significance for Hanoi.
No.
It can't do us any good with Hanoi. You can argue it doesn't do us any damage, but you know it can't do us any good. It is a direct challenge to you.
Yeah.
If you gave a deadline, moreover, for next year, end of next year, they'd argue it should be 6 months earlier, a year earlier. It wouldn't solve anything. And, he said if he said...
By the time we get to next year, we will have set a deadline, and we know that, for Christ's sakes.
We need one good shot at the negotiations. Will I make it or not make it? And then, I would say, after they turn down the ceasefire and the deadline, we'll say we've got to protect our troops. The negotiations are ended. We're going back to bombing.
The negotiations are ended. We're withdrawing all of our forces.
And we'll bomb while we're withdrawing.
And we withdraw all of our forces. We'll bomb until we get the prisoners back.
And until all the troops are out.
Right.
Unless they give us a ceasefire. And you can put that to a plebiscite practically and
we'll pull in advance.
Yeah. we've cut the summit from the Soviets, we've cut from them what they can give us, what can they do if we start bombing next year? And to be very cold-blooded about it. As long as we keep...
You know, getting back to bombing, he doesn't call you unless he's...
That's right. You see, the significant call was the call he made to me in the morning. The fact that I returned it in the evening made me technically, made me initiated, but he put the call in, and he doesn't call me unless he is... he's never come through when we needed him. Nor has he ever done for anyone. I've known Bundy for 15 years now, 20 years. Bundy, and he's never going to reach the top either because he never stands up for anything.
That's why he won't go to the top.
That's why I think if you want to get to the top...
Me, you know, I told me, when I had a long talk with him in 67, well, you might know it for your historical records, after we talked about Secretaries of State, the ones he admired. He admired Atchison, admired Dawson, but I said, well, now let's suppose you were picking Secretaries of State, and that's the either part of the
money. Well,
he's Buckley is everybody's Secretary of State. Scotty Reston recommended him in 1962.
Yeah, but not anymore, Mr. President. I don't believe so. You watch Bundy's career. He's always done the fashionable thing. He's always done it at the wrong moment.
I don't know him, sir.
I know him very well. He's brilliant. Outstanding.
He's leading Harvard.
Yeah, he's outstandingly brilliant. He's totally opportunistic. And he has no real substantive knowledge. He's got a good, tough... He would be good doing the sort of job Bob does, except he wouldn't be loyal. I mean, if you wanted to run something, he'd be good in Schultz's job. Those are things he does well and creatively on substance. He doesn't have any strategic conceptions. He's always, and he's always on the liberal side by instinct. His brother Bill actually is better on...
They tell me he's a better man, nicer man, too.
He's a nicer man. But Mac, I take, is a good weatherman.
He called, and the view was that...
And he totally initiated the conversation on Vietnam. I didn't even mention Vietnam to him.
Then that's what he thinks, Henry.
The pressure.
That man, Mackey things. Go ahead.
Well, if Mac Bundy offers to defend us on bombing in Southeast Asia, you can be sure it is safe in New York. Because Mac Bundy does not go to dinner parties or offer to speak around unless the tide has already turned. It's not the sort of man he is. McNamara would do it regardless. Bundy would do it only if it's safe.
He may make it, if you think that's it.
Yeah. And he thinks right now there isn't as much steam as we all thought.
Now, this is worrying that they were dead only 70,000. Isn't that a shame?
Yeah.
What the crash does he want to have? The million dollar burn city down?
That's what he wants.
Yeah, isn't that something?
And he, you know, when Mankiewicz says that he hopes you won't grow too much, that means you're in the driver's seat.
Why shouldn't I grow? I'm not going to.
Of course. Well, why the hell should we take Mankiewicz's advice on anything?
That's right.
And what he's done to us.
That's right. All that over. Listen, these liberals, they always have it both ways.
Yeah.
They'll want that you watch. If you put the squeeze sometime, can I get Ziegler and I tell him about that squeeze now?
Sure.
You see what I mean? The time of this week's squeeze was on, except for Saturday.
Yeah.
And on Saturday, and I need some Sebastian Trump.
I just won't answer their own
call. You say they're going to please listen.
I just won't answer their phone call.
Don't you answer any phone call from time of week. Saturday and day, just the others, you can do it. And we got to get the word to everybody else in the shop.
That's right,
Well, you don't have to do that. Say it or do it. Because I tell you, it's the fashion thing again. Let them sweat for a month. By God, they'll be interested in the China story and a few other stories.
Well, you see, if we pull off a few of these things in May and June, this is going to make everybody terribly cautious about tackling you again, because it means every time that they thought they had you on the ropes, you've had a few aces up your sleeves. to West Russian. And they may want to get the Vietnam War settled.
Really? You think that's part of it?
I don't know whether you remember this, Mr. President, but when Chu En Lai was in Hanoi and everyone was yelling about China going into Vietnam, I think I said to you, I know I said to Hay, that it is at least as probable and maybe that this is a beginning of negotiations.
That was before, of course, the bad weekend.
That was before the bad weekend.
Mr. President, he's in briefing. I should yell about 5 minutes. I come in then. Would like him to come out and brief
him. No! No
hurry.
Well, that's an interesting thing. That's an interesting thing. Of course, you remember too, though, Henry. This, and of course, I think even we were a little more junior than we needed to be. All this crap, the effect that China would intervene in Laos.
I never thought it.
China would intervene because of Cambodia.
They were never going to intervene. They knew damn well.
But you were never worried about it.
I was never worried about it. I never thought.
The
mistake was. Jeff, you remember everybody said the Chinese would know what they'll do?
I never saw what was in it for China to get in there, nor what was in it for Hanoi.
These press guys, they all wrote it, but none of them retracted it. They all.
Well, it's
interesting, though, that Bundy feels it's turning better.
That's what he... And
Mankiewicz must feel the same way. It's turning better.
That's right. Mankiewicz was shaken by Kelly. He said, you guys, I never believed that right-wing stuff. I don't believe it now. But he said that Kelly reaction shook me. He said, well, it subsided so quickly, maybe doesn't mean anything. I said, well, it subsided in part because the president took charge of it.
He ran out of, if I had flawless people around this country, there are crowds of 25 or 50,000 people. Do you know that?
That's right.
That's what we were playing against here. Reagan would have charged off.
Well, if you win the election next year, and if we do well in foreign policy this year, and if the economy is going the way that I'm corporation for,
it's coming.
I'll say,
did you see the Dow yesterday?
Yeah, it's way up.
926 now.
And that's what, of course, Howard Stein also says. That it would go up to 1,100, 1,200.
Howard Stein may not have liked, I don't know whether he may not have been certain, but disappointed in the speech. But he's got to realize that we're doing the right thing.
Mr. President, this thing...
You might call him.
Yeah, this thing must go like...
And just say, now look, Howard, I just want you to go and play the Chinese game a little bit. So just watch this, this is very, very interesting before, you know. Thanks for that. It's just as well to keep him a little funny. What we did here is that, despite the fact that the press couldn't bear to give credit for what was really that was in the structure of the speech, but the emotional impact. Anybody could have done the structure. Anybody. But very few could have done the emotional impact.
Well, Mr. President, not anyone could have done the structure. I've seen too many of these speeches done.
But to stand up
so coldly, I mean, here, the whole country is screaming, or at least the whole literate country is screaming.
The whole Congress.
And you stand up coldly and in effect say, I'm sticking to my policy, because that's what you were saying.
That's right.
And then the emotion at the end lifted it up. But the combination of courage and emotion.
Well, doing it, making the decision, but I mean writing it, anybody could have written it.
No, that I don't believe.
We now come, that speech still had to have some hell of an impact on the
I remember, Mr. President,
guy.
On November 3rd.
It's cooling. I mean, now let us understand. Not in winning. People are sick of the war. It's like November 3rd. They were still thought maybe we could win something. It's all gone. That's a year ago. It's a year and 4 months later. But there is no question that the people now say, well, I want to get out. That poor son of a bitch wants to get out too, so that's what'll happen today. They may not like it, you know what I mean?
And
it's more of that, it's resignation, not enthusiasm.
That is true.
You get enthusiasm back from there, not now. It's resignation.
That is true, Mr. President.
See, that's the difference, Henry.
Yeah, that is true, but the outrage, if we leave 45,000 dead and the communists march into Saigon, then we'll get a Cali reaction that we're alive. That's right, that's resignation, but none of the few good things happen. people will say he knew all along what he was doing. And of course, if we pulled off a spectacular and settled it this year,
well, let's not even think about that. The only good thing that I'd like to see.
It could happen, Mr. President. I really think it could.
But the good thing I would like to see, I mean, I'm shooting low. At the lowest, I want the summit.
I think that will.
Even without a summit, to summit.
I just don't see how they cannot have a summit.
Yeah.
I mean, look at from their cold-blooded point of view. They may, after all, you don't like Brezhnev. And you would just as soon screw Brezhnev. But why should you expend your capital on somebody who is irrelevant to you? They may not like you. If this were 72, they probably would hang on. But the fact is, Brezhnev has just been elevated to the top spot, and you would be the first president to come to Moscow. The Russian people are pro-American. It would mean one hell of a lot of symbolism to them if they can get a SALT agreement signed in Moscow. So that
the Russian people are pro-American.
Yeah, it's a Moscow treaty. He can claim credit for it all over the communist world.
Incidentally, could you make a note, and I know that it's a silly thing to think about, but why not? Why don't we consider the possibility of it, which should be rated the green of a non-aggression pact? Why not?
I got pants today.
Is it a big?
Excuse me?
No, it's a...